Welcome to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who motivate you to overcome the odds, break down barricades, and shift your beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Share in the journey and find a new path full of miracles waiting to be discovered. Now, here's your host, Candace McClain.
And welcome to Everyday Miracles. So glad you could join us today. I'm your host, Candace McClain, and today, like every Thursday at this time, we are opening our minds to unlimited possibilities. Well, today on the show, we are exploring the mother-daughter relationship, which I think must be one of the most complex relationships on this planet, but I think it also has the potential to be one of the most rewarding relationships of our lives. But how, as a mother, can we find a sense of balance in our lives, especially with our children, especially with daughters going through so many changes as they grow up? Well, Dr. Meg Meeker will be joining us shortly to discuss her extensive work with families over the years and her new groundbreaking book called The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. Well, Dr. Meg is going to share what she has seen mothers struggle with, and probably what she's been through herself, I'd imagine, and the steps that we can take to embrace our role and live less stressful, but more happier and more fulfilling lives. Now, if you have a question for Dr. Meg today, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions to us via our instant feedback form. You can go to www.transformationtalkradio.com and just fill out the instant feedback form on the right side of the page there. And you can also call us, of course, at 1-800-930-2819. Well, our guest today, Dr. Meg Meeker, she's a pediatrician, she's a mother, and the best-selling author of 6 books now, including Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And she's considered the country's leading authority on parenting, and as well teens and children's health. Now, Dr. Meg has spent the last 25 years practicing pediatric and adolescent medicine, while also helping parents and teens to communicate more deeply about some very difficult and challenging topics, including everything from sex to STDs and to teen pregnancy. And she's spoken nationally on teen health issues and has appeared on a variety of shows, including The Today Show, CNN, Dateline, Oprah, 60 Minutes, and so, so much more. But it's Dr. Meg's work with the countless families throughout the years that has served as the inspiration behind this new book that we'll be discussing today, again called The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. Dr. Meg, welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Candace. It's a delight to be with you.
I would love to start off, and maybe you could talk a little bit about the significance of that mother-daughter relationship and its influence on how we grow to feel about ourselves as women, as well as how we relate to the world around us.
Well, you know, the mother-daughter relationship can be, as you alluded to earlier in your introduction, you know, one of the most painful and volatile relationships that we can have in families, but it can also be the source of tremendous amount of joy and one of the greatest relationships that women can encounter, because as a woman grows and matures beyond a mother needing to parent her anymore, when the mother and the daughter can become friends, the bond that they can experience as friends can be much deeper than the bond that a woman may have with another friend, of course, who isn't her mother or even a family member. So the potential there for the intimacy and the love and the intensity of a great relationship is really, really wonderful. Of course, a woman, a girl, gets her sense of self very much through watching her mother, watching how her mother treats her as a daughter, as a growing woman. She takes cues from her mother regarding who she is as a girl and as a woman, who she is as a person, what her value as a person is. So there's so many wonderfully intricate levels that the mother-daughter relationship operates on. You know, it really is just a matter of, you know, sort of where do you want to start, because at the end of the day, the mother is a profoundly important figure in a daughter's life for good or ill. You know, there's a lot of power that mom has for good or for ill, but I think that it's really important for us as moms to understand we have that kind of power in our daughter's life so that it works for us and them, not against us and against them.
Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. When we become mothers, you know, it's wonderful, but it's also very scary because, you know, there's no instruction manual that comes with that little baby. So,
right.
And there's a lot of support when we're pregnant. You know, when we're pregnant, we go for prenatal classes, we go for Lamaze, hypnobirthing, something I do.
Yes.
And we learn when we're pregnant how important it is to take care of ourselves. So, you know, we go for the prenatal yoga and the massages. But then the little baby is born into this world. And as mothers, we're kind of left on our own at that point. Is that something you hear a lot, too?
Oh, very much so. You know, very much so. And, of course, you know, your idea of what life is going to be like after the baby comes out is so dramatically different. You know, even if you look at that beautiful nursery, then everything is clean. And you envision that this child's going to come in and there'll be this tremendous amount of love and, you know, this miracle in your arms, which, of course, children are. And then the first time the baby, you know, vomits on you or wakes up in the middle of the night or, you know, you're exhausted and you all you want to do is, I remember when our babies were little, just sort of wanting desperately to sort of zip them back inside, even just for a day so I could get some sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do that. But, you know, you're absolutely right. There's a sense that you have as a mother where once the baby's born and it's you and the baby in the home, you feel very much on your own. You know, even though you know that other mothers have had similar experiences, there's a sense of desperation that you want so much to get it right with that child. And you also know that since you are that child's mom, you feel a tremendous amount of pressure to get it right today and tomorrow and next year and the next year. And I think that we've just got to be careful as mothers that we don't lose our joy in understanding that we do have a huge responsibility, but that also there's more involved in the child's development than just everything we give them. Because that's where I feel a lot of mothers feel very isolated and lonely and enormously burdened, is if they feel that they are sort of the beginning and the end of life and everything for their child. It's a really very much an overwhelming sense.
We have very high expectations of ourselves, and we don't want to make the same mistakes our mothers made. And we do. We become sort of afraid of making mistakes and afraid of raising children who might resent us down the road. Megan, in your 25 years of working with families, how would you say the role of motherhood has changed in that time, or has it?
Oh, it's changed
enormously. Yeah?
I think that motherhood has changed since my kids were little. I don't know that the actual workings out of motherhood, but the challenges that mothers have now that I didn't have, you know, my oldest is 27 and our youngest is 19. And, you know, but for instance, when our kids were growing up, I didn't have the battle of, you know, all the electronic gadgetry that was competing for my attention or my kids' attention. And I think that there was less of a sense when I was raising our kids back then. I wasn't as afraid as I see a lot of mothers with younger children now feel. And I just want to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers feel so intensely that there's so many things they need to do for their children to get this thing of mothering right, and that unless they do all of them, then they're going to fail as mothers. And there's a real fear, there's a real hidden fear that, you know, I need to have my house a certain way, I need to cook certain meals, I need to have my kids in a certain school, I need to make sure that my kids aren't bored, I need to make sure that my kids are getting good grades, because if they get bad grades, it's a reflection of, of me, that I'm doing something wrong. And that's too much for a person to bear. And I really feel badly, and that's really one of the reasons I wrote the 10 Habits of Happy Mothers book, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity, because there really should be a joy and a freedom in parenting. Of course, it's extremely hard work, mentally and physically, but there should be a lot of joy and not this sense of angst that we're gonna fail. And that's very different, I think, in the past 15 years. Mothers 15, 20 years ago didn't live with a sense that unless they did all of these things, they were going to be failures. I think we've sort of approached mothering in a more general sense. You know, that my job and purpose as this child's mother is to love them like crazy and to take really good care of them and get them on their way and give them wings to fly. But we didn't feel responsible for every emotion, every grade, you know, every soccer game, everything that I think a lot of young mothers feel today.
And everything you're saying, I can relate to. You know, if my children have a bad experience or they don't do well on a test, I feel bad about it. I take it personally. Well, we're going to go into a quick break here. And when we come back, Dr. Meg is going to share those 10 lovely habits of happy mothers. How can you reclaim your passion, your purpose, and most importantly, your sanity? More with Dr. Meg when we return.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shoppe, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
And welcome back to Everyday Miracles. We're speaking with pediatrician and best-selling author Dr. Meg Meeker about her latest book, The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. And if you have a question for Dr. Meg, we'd love to hear from you. You can fill out our instant feedback form at www.transformationtalkradio.com or give us a call at 1-800-930-2819. So Meg, I'd love to talk a little bit more about this mother-daughter relationship and how is that relationship, would you say, more unique than, you know, a mother-son relationship?
Well, it's, you know, in a lot of different ways. I think right off the bat, we know that the parent of a same-sex child, the oldest of the same sex, tend to butt heads more. So dads will butt heads most with their oldest son, mothers with their oldest daughter. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of reasons that we do that. I think that particularly if we're similar personalities, a mother and a daughter, there's a sense where a daughter, as I said, kids look to their moms and to their dads to get a sense, to watch how moms respond to them so that they can get a sense of who they are as a person. You know, mom is happy with me, I must be a good person. Mom laughs at me, I must be funny, that kind of a thing. And a daughter will look to her mother to get a sense of who she is. But if there's a lot of similarity in the personality, often what a daughter will do is start to push that mother's buttons and start to not compete, but challenge her mother in the areas where their personalities are very similar. And this can create some tension between the daughter and the mother, and you won't necessarily have that tension with a son because the son doesn't feel this competitive spirit towards his mother, if you will. And granted, most of this is subconscious, of course. So I think that adds a very different dynamic to the mother-daughter relationship that you don't have with the mother-son relationship. Another difference in the mother-daughter versus the mother-son is that moms very often, subconsciously, project themselves onto their daughters. If a mother had a bad relationship, for instance, when she was six, and a teacher was mean to her, or, you know, somebody was mean to her, when that daughter turns six, she may start treating that daughter very differently, become very protective, maybe a little bit paranoid, maybe dislike the daughter's teacher. So we tend to have a little difficulty figuring out which is the daughter and which is me. And I think that's one of the biggest ways that mothers can fall into traps with their daughters is we begin to treat our daughters the way we would have wanted to have been treated at that age because we see ourselves in that daughter. And this doesn't really happen when you have a mother and a son.
I can see what you're saying. I can see that, you know, in the relationships with my children as well. If anyone's going to challenge me out of my three kids, it's going to be my eldest daughter.
Daughter, right.
Yeah, absolutely. 9 times out of 10.
Yes, my oldest daughter was very much that way, and she's very strong-willed. And I remember, you know, thinking for so many years that one of us was going to go down, and I determined it wasn't me, it was going to be her. Well, she finally gave up the battle when she was around 11. And I'll tell you, I mean, and she wasn't being malicious or mean. It just was very much You're not going to tell me what to do, Mom. You're not going to tell me what to do, Mom. She wouldn't say that, but her actions and everything were just constantly, constantly challenging my authority. Now, the other two daughters right behind her were easy as cake. Because I think they realized that my oldest daughter sort of sucked all the energy out of the room, you know, and it just sort of tied me up in knots. But I will tell you, once she sort of surrendered to me, and I'm not a, you know, discipline is tough for me. I'm kind of a pushover with all of my kids. And so, you know, I wasn't a super strict mom or anything like that, but once she understood, okay, Mom's not going to be taken down. Then she gave up, and I will tell you, her teenage years were delightful, and she and I are best friends now, and she's 27. We have more fun together because our interests are alike. We understand the way each other thinks, and that's important, too, in the mother-daughter relationship. Men and boys, fundamentally, their thought process is very different from women's thought process, and the way they bond with people is very different. We women bond with one another through talking. Men bond through doing activities together in general. So, you know, that's why I say when you have an adult daughter and you have similarities and you've gotten through those rough stages, the potential to have a very deep, wonderful friendship is tremendous, and you know, that's what I'm blessed to have right now, and I'm very grateful.
So, but how did you do that? Because it's a difficult time on moms, you know, when the teenager says, you know, I hate you for the first time, and, and you know, slams the door, and what is a mother to do in times like that?
Well, first of all, never take your teenagers personally. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we make. Remember, whenever you're looking at a 16-year-old who's having a fit, you're looking at a 2-year-old having a temper tantrum. There's so much similarity between toddlers and teenagers. And, you know, and I say to parents, now, when your toddler threw himself on the floor, herself on the floor, and kicked and screamed and said, I hate you, hate you, did you believe him? And parents said, of course not. I said, then why do you believe your 16-year-old? Because the teenager never thinks about mom. They're thinking only about themselves. Developmentally, that's where they are. So when they scream, I hate you, they're not really screaming, I hate you. They're just frustrated and they're mad because they're not even thinking about you. What they're saying is, I don't like not having any control in my life. I'm transitioning. I want to do these things. I can't do these things. And I feel like I'm going to explode. And unfortunately, because in many homes, mom is the safe person. Mom is the one where kids feel that no matter what they do to us, we're not going to go anywhere. That they feel they can throw as many darts at us as they want, and we're just going to take it. So I think that we learn not to take our kids personally, because again, it isn't about us. They're just going through these stages. But to stay by their side, but to stay very much the parent. And again, I think that's the quickest way you can lose your teenager is if you lose their respect and you step from being mom and sort of the one who says curfews at 10 or curfews at 11. If you move from that posture to being, yeah, I understand your friends are out. Okay, you can just come home whenever. Just lock the door when you get in when you're 16. And you become their pal, you've lost the game because they no longer respect you as much. Because remember, they're still kind of children there. So there are a lot of ways to navigate the teen years pretty successfully. But I think it all starts with staying the mom and not being afraid to be the bad person. And then also never taking your kids personally. And if you're having a difficult time with a teenager, I tell parents, pretend that your daughter is someone else's daughter and talk to them as though they're someone else's daughter. And at least it sort of puts some space between you and you can get through those very, very difficult times.
That's very good advice. And we're going to go to break shortly here, but maybe after the break, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about this. We kind of touched on it here, but, you know, the stages in growth for a child or for that little girl, you know, from when she's a toddler, you know, growing up and becoming an adolescent and a teenager, and how that affects the mom, too, and how that affects that relationship. Both kind of have to adapt to this growth that's taking place. So I'd love for you to touch on that when we get back from the break. Please stay tuned. We're going to continue talking to Dr. Meg Meeker. We'll be right back.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
8 out of 10 people suffer from chronic lower back pain. Are you one of them? Finally, a simple, inexpensive way you can stop the pain at home. It's called the Vacupractor. The Vacupractor's unique patented method uses vacuum pressure and leverage targeting only the lumbar region. You'll get guaranteed results or your money back, and it's far less than a trip to the doctor's office. Finally, a back pain treatment that works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Meg Meeker, the country's leading authority on parenting, teens, and children's health. Today she's with us talking about the 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, which is her new groundbreaking book. Meg, if people would like more information on you and this incredible book, where can they go for more information?
Well, I do have a website and a Facebook page, and it's Meg Meeker, M.D., .com, Meg Meeker MD, and they can go to website or Facebook. I also do something very fun, and I answer questions on Cafe Mom, which is a huge mother's website and place to go and chat. So really, just my website or Facebook is the best place to go, I bet.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, before the break there, we were talking a little bit about teenagers and things too, but it becomes difficult, doesn't it, for the mother to see, you know, first here's that little tiny baby girl and they grow so fast. You know, next thing you know, they're walking. Next thing you know, they're going to school. There's all these life changes and developmental changes that are moving on to becoming an adolescent and teenagers. How difficult is that for a mom? How do we learn to kind of grow through those stages with our little girls?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I sat down and one day calculated that the number of changes that the average mother goes through during her lifetime, and I think I came out to about every 3 years we go through what feels like a pretty major change when you think of, you know, birthing and then your child going to kindergarten and off to first grade and then off to junior high and then college. So we have to learn early on to adapt to those changes, and whenever there's a change, there's a grieving, a mini grieving, and sometimes a big grieving that goes on because there's a lot that we feel we lose. You know, we lose the child's sort of innocent years when they're a toddler, and then they go off to school, and we feel they transform into sort of a different person. We lose the time. We feel many times that we've lost influence. We can't go back and redo things that we wish that we could. And so I think that we have to learn how to navigate changes pretty well. But I think by and large, most women are pretty good at that because we're just forced to do it. We're forced to face more frequent changes than most men do in life, you know, who stay with a job and who may not be the at-home caregivers, you know, many men are, but still it's predominantly women. But I think that, you know, to understand what a daughter goes through at the different stages in her life helps moms adapt to those changes. You know, for instance, to understand that those early years when they're toddlers and they're going to preschool and they haven't started, you know, elementary school yet, that's a time I think that, you know, we have the sense that our daughters are, they wear the clothes we tell them to wear, they may wear a lot of dresses, they, you know, they're still pretty much with us, and then they go off to school and they start to have influences of other people, other kids, other parents, and we feel like they're sort of starting to lose them a little bit. And then of course they get into the junior high years and then it's completely different. There's another enormous loss that we go through as moms because we feel like they're just sort of living in a very different world. Which they are, and we also fear for them because we're afraid of what they're going to come up against. You know, from sixth grade on, we start worrying about sex, drugs, alcohol, smoking, violence, and so there are a lot of worries that factor in there, too, for our daughters. But I think it really helps if we understand the developmental stages, what to expect during those stages, and then how to kind of navigate the daughters through each stage, and that's why I wrote, you know, books about teenagers. You know, one is Your Kids at Risk, just talking about all the different risks that kids are out there, but also empowering parents and teaching parents, okay, here's how you keep your child or your teenager going in the direction that you really want them to go in.
How can mothers and daughters find a good balance there between being too attached and being individuals? Do you have any methods in terms of creating some sense of balance there in that relationship?
Well, I think that it's important to sort of sit back and say, what do I want for my daughter? You know, our job as moms is to raise healthy 25-year-old women and to say we have many, many years to get there. And I think that if we sort of sit back and say, okay, my job as mom is not to make this girl into a woman that I want. My job as the mom is to figure out her, help her figure out her passions, her gifts, her talents, her strengths, her weaknesses, and then help her channel those in a direction that works for her. I think where we get most hung up as moms is where we look at our daughters and we imagine when they're 5 or 8 or 10 what we want them to be, and we start sort of, in a way, sabotaging their natural gifts and pushing them in a direction where we may want them to be. And a lot of moms do that now because we feel that our value and identity as moms is very much tied into our kids' successes. And so if we have a child that isn't successful, in quotes, in areas that we value, say you're a very athletic mom and you love to run marathons and you have a 12-year-old daughter who hates sports, you know, that could be a real challenge for you. And but it's very important to resist sort of saying, okay, I'm gonna push you into being an athletic child of some sort, but to really sort of let them bloom into the person that they are supposed to be. And so I think if we try to just peel ourselves off of our daughters constantly, it really frees us up to parent them better, and it frees our daughters up to become the unique individuals that they're going to be, which many times is very different from who we are.
And I'd love to talk about the 10 habits as well that you've created in this book. And what I love about them really is it's a lot about taking care of yourself as a mother, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's funny. It's really not a parenting book. It's about how to enjoy being a mom again. Because I think we're being robbed of so much joy because we feel that we need to perform so much as moms rather than just be mothers. And there's an enormous difference there. But our culture, our collective culture, puts a lot of pressure on us, or we feel a lot of pressure from our friends, from our colleagues, from school systems, that we need to be doing more in order to be better moms. And we've all sort of jumped on this train that's picking up speed and going very fast in some direction. We're not exactly where, but we want to jump off, but we want somebody else to go first. So I decided to go first and say, okay, let's sort of drill down and figure out what is it that brings us as mothers great joy and contentment in life, and let's pare it down and let's not get duped into feeling a lot of peer pressure to get our kids into 2 or 3, you know, sports after school, or make sure they get into this right college, or make sure that their grades are this, or make sure that they're never disappointed or bored or unhappy, whatever. But to get back to the business of just being mom and enjoying that again, because ultimately it's best for us, but it's also good for our families too. And that's where the 10 habits came from.
And, you know, when we take care of ourselves, we have so much more to give our families, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Because many times we just try to give them out of a dry well. You know, we're trying to pull out and give them more and give them more. And, you know, one of the classic examples would be, you know, a mother who throws a birthday party for a child, and the child may want a birthday party, may not want a birthday party, but mom insists on having a lot of people and having a theme to the party and spending a lot of money and working very hard and making sure the house is clean and works so hard at this birthday party that she's really kind of getting resentful that she's throwing this birthday party. But in the end, she's not really, because she's so tired, she's not really throwing it because the child wants or needs it, but she's doing it because she feels this is what a good mom does. And so we end up burning ourselves out doing things that we feel we need to do, but that our kids know we don't need to do. So a lot of it takes place, you know, just all in our own minds about the expectations that we have of ourselves. And we've got to really pare those down and shift them around, and we'll enjoy life a lot more.
You wrote something very interesting here in the book. I'm just trying to find it. I'm paraphrasing here a bit, but you said, you know, kids don't care if you make brownies from scratch, from a box, or if you buy them, but they just want to eat the brownies with you.
Yes.
I thought that was just so powerful.
It is, but isn't it true? I mean,
yeah.
We as mothers feel that if we make them from a box or we buy them, that we are a less than good mom, because there's mothers out there that are making everything from scratch all the time. But our kids could really care less. What they want is not to watch us try to be better mothers and work hard at doing all the things that we in our minds feel we need to do to be better mothers. Our kids just really want us. They want our attention and our time and our ear and our focus. And, you know, it's very much like being invited over to someone's house for dinner and walking in the door and looking forward to spending time with somebody, but the thing the hostess does is run around the whole time and clean up and cook, and she never says hello or never really talks to you. That's sort of like our kids feel, I think, often. They watch us running around trying to do this mom thing, but we don't really give them what they really want, which is so much simpler, which is just sit down and have...
Just spend time together.
Glass of milk with them. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go to another quick break, and we'll have more of the 10 Habits of Happy Mothers with Dr. Meg when we return. We'll be right back.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation.
The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. We are talking about the 10 habits of happy mothers with Dr. Meg Meeker today, pediatrician and best-selling author. Now, if you are a mother and you are looking to find more balance in your life, looking to find some sanity there, I encourage you to go out and get this book. Dr. Meg shows women how to reduce loneliness, anxiety, depression, and low self-esteem by inspiring them to embrace more positive emotions and habits. And of course, for more information, you can visit her website at www.megmeekermd.com. Well, I would love to go through some of these habits with you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah, let's start with, let's touch upon each one a little bit if we can. We don't have too much time left, but let's start with habit number one, which is understanding your value as a mother.
Yes. Well, and I think this is something that it's very, very hard for a lot of mothers to sort of wrap our minds around, particularly because when our children are young, they don't really look up at us and say, oh, you're just the best mother. Thank you for doing this and thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't come for many, many years. And I think that we also live in a time where what is really valued, again, is the work performance that we give and maybe, you know, are the jobs that we do outside of the home. And it's discouraging that after all of these years of, you know, women fighting for, you know, rights and so on and so forth, that we still live in a time where we tend to look on the work that mothers do as less than, many times, than the work that we would do in a workplace. And many mothers don't feel this. I don't feel this, but I know that sentiment, unfortunately, still exists. But I think that to really understand our value as mothers, it's really, really critical to, you know, take the time and reflect about who we are to our children and who we are for our children and what is the best that we give our children, the essence of who we are, our character qualities, our personality, our strengths, and even our faults. Because the truth of the matter is every child is born, you know, with sort of a mom-shaped hole. We talk about the father-shaped hole, you know, or these holes that children have. But there's a longing that every child has, that they're born with, for the approval of their mother. And it's not just any mom, it's their mother. And it therein really lies our value as a mom to our children. But we forget about that because we start thinking about and concentrating on too many other things. So I just felt it was really important to talk about that in the book and sort of recenter moms into focusing on what really matters to our kids and what really matters in life. Because at the end of the day, for me, you know, being a mom to my kids, there's nothing else in life that compares to it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the great, great blessings. And so I just want mothers to ponder that for a bit. That's why I wrote the chapter.
Yeah. Another thing that you bring up is the need for connection in our lives. So your habit number two is to maintain key friendships. And, you know, as women, we have a strong need for that, but not just with our family, of course, right?
Right, absolutely. We need, regardless of the stage of parenting that we're in, if we're pregnant, if we've just, you know, if you have a 6-month-old, if you have a junior high, if you have an adult child, and you're an empty nester, women need women friends. We don't need lots of women friends, but we have a need for female connection, in women outside of our home who can really sort of keep us standing up when we feel like we're falling over all the time. There's so many bumps that we go through and so many walls that we hit. You know, life just beats us up, and it's really women who come alongside and give us food, watch our kids, stand with us when we bury a parent, you know, come with us if we have to take a child to the hospital, cry with us when, you know, our husband walks out. You know, women understand women, and we can connect in a way that women can't always connect with their husbands. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think if we don't have strong women friendships, our families can pay the price. We pay the price, though, because we get very lonely. And I think we begin asking too much from our kids and our spouses because we're asking them to fill a role that they just can't fill, which is to be our friend. And so I think, and one of the reasons that I felt strongly about writing it was that I found that mothers who are very busy and very focused on their families tend to cut out time with friends first. You know, we may not cut out exercise. We certainly don't want to cut out time with kids, and we don't want to cut out time from work. But friendships are the first, one of the first things that we axe if we're under time constraints, and that's very, very harmful to our emotional health.
Yeah, we really do need to take care of ourselves and maintain those friendships as best we can. And I mean, I know people who don't have kids who are just so busy they can't even maintain their friendships. You know, yeah.
And it's very sad because we are social people. We need a pack. We need connection. We need friendship and love and relationship. I mean, we're created for relationship. You know, nobody could live alone. We are interdependent in that way, and I think we're no less dependent on women friends than we are on other people, but we tend to forget this. And this is where I see a lot of mothers get into trouble and feel they're going to crash and burn is if they don't have fairly regular connection with another good friend, even if it's a phone call once a week or a walk every couple weeks or, you know, anything where they can just sort of say, how are you doing? Are you okay? Are you making it? You know, are you getting any sleep? You know, if you feel like you're going to crash and burn, call me up and I'll take your kids, whatever. But we've got to have that. And particularly as our kids get older and we go through difficulties with our kids, I know the parents that I've had in my practice who have overcome some very difficult situations with their teenagers are mothers who've had a very good support system to keep them moving forward in the midst of some pretty tough times.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. This hour has gone by so quickly, but it's been such a pleasure to have you and to learn from you today.
Well, it's been delightful. I'm sorry I didn't get through many habits. I tend to talk too much, but it's just been a real joy, and I'd love to do it again sometime.
I would love that. Now, if any of you are interested, please visit Dr. Meg Meeker's website at www.megmeekermd.com. Learn about these wonderful habits. Learn, you know, you're not all alone in this. And sometimes as a mom, we kind of feel we're alone, and you really aren't. There's a lot out there, and this is a beautiful book that can really help you to connect with yourself again, connect with your friends, connect with your children, your family in a whole new way. Again, the book is 10 Habits of Happy Mothers. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here next week for another Everyday Miracles.
You've been listening to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered.